The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning with verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In the days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 23 on page 4 of your bulletin. We'll read it responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good evening. Tonight I'm going to introduce you to a friend of mine. But before I do, I want to ask you about a word. A word that has 4 letters in it. L-I-K-E. Scarlett, what's that spell? Like? Is that right, Rowan? L-I-K-E, like? Yeah, like. L-I-K-E. You know what the word like means? I like ice cream. Or we could say, well, she is like, then it'd be a comparison, right? But if I like something, it's not the same as loving something, is it? Because usually like is less and love is more. Is that right? Okay. So like means that I'm fond of something. I value something. I appreciate it, right? I like strawberries. I like pizza. I like. But there's a difference when you love something or someone, right? Compared to liking. Listen to some of these. Like a fish out of water. She swims like a fish. What does it mean if somebody swims like a fish? It means what? They're really a good swimmer, right? Yeah. Or what about this one? If you were looking for a white glove and it was winter and there was a snow blizzard outside, what would your chance of finding it be? Like maybe finding a needle in a haystack? Or have you ever heard this one? They're sisters, they're brothers, they're like 2 or 3 peas in a pod. What does that mean? Like peas in a pod. They have similar interests? They like to be close to each other? Or you could say, well, they're like oil and water. What does that mean? They don't mix very well, do they? In fact, they separate like for comparison, but also for telling someone that you like someone, you care about them, you're fond of them, right? Yep. Did you hear what Jesus said in our gospel reading for tonight? There was this big, huge crowd of people, maybe 5,000 men plus women and children. I mean, it was large, right? And when Jesus looked at them, he said, they look like... Did you catch what it was? They look like sheep without a shepherd. Shepherdless sheep. What would that be like? Can you imagine having a bunch of sheep? Can you imagine if Hope, you know, she's not even 2 yet, and she didn't have a mom or a dad or somebody that was watching over and shepherding her, and they just let her run out into the street and into the neighborhood? Would that be safe? Would that be dangerous? That'd be scary, right? So when Jesus looks at all these people and he says, you know what? They look like sheep, but they look like sheep without a shepherd. That's scary because they could get hurt, right? What's a shepherd's job? to keep the sheep safe. Now, I brought a little sheep with me. Scarlett, do you know who this sheep is? It's your lambie? Does that mean you're like a shepherd? What's a shepherd supposed to do with a lambie? Take care of it, right? Stay close to it, not let anything separate it, right? Some of you know lambie? Yeah, if you're a grandma or grandpa, if you're a mom or a dad, you probably know about Doc McStuffins, right? She's like a doctor. She has a clinic. She has all these stuffed animals and toys, and they come to life, right? And what does Doc McStuffins do? Because she's like a doctor. She fixes broken things, and she takes the sick and makes them well. And this sheep's name is what, Scarlett? Lammy. Kind of original, right? A lamb, and you call the lamb's name Lammy, right? You know what Lammy likes to do? Lammy likes to do ballet. And Lammy also likes to, yeah, you know, she likes to give hugs, right? And make people feel better. She likes to hug people with life. But Lammy is also afraid. You know what Lammy's biggest fear is? She is afraid that Doc McStuffins is going to abandon her, forsake her, or find a replacement for her. But we know better, don't we? We know that Doc McStuffins would never let any harm come to her lammie. When you were baptized into the waters of holy baptism, God made you one of his sheep. You know that, right? Bah! Right? God made you one of his sheep. That means, who's your shepherd? Jesus. He's a good shepherd. You know why we know he's a good shepherd? Because he's not going to let any harm come to us. He's going to protect us. He's going to feed us. He's going to forgive us. And the good shepherd will also die for us. He'd rather die than to see harm come to us, right? So do you think the good shepherd Jesus is going to abandon his sheep or find replacements for them? No. You see, Lammy is like us, kind of, sort of, but not really. And Doc McStuffins is kind of like Jesus, but not really. But we know that Doc McStuffins is not going to ever let any harm come to her lamb. And I can promise you that Jesus has his eyes on his sheep every day, and he's not going to let any harm come to you. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, you are my good shepherd, and I am your lamb forever. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Jesus saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to imagine. That would be like a hireling. That would be like what we hear in our first reading for tonight when the prophet Jeremiah was preaching on behalf of God, 600 BC, and the rulers of Judah were fleecing the flock instead of taking care of the sheep. And the word of the Lord came and said, because you have not been attending to my sheep, I will attend to you. And that's not good news. But there is good news in our first reading because the prophet Jeremiah says, and because the ones who were called to be shepherds have failed in their job, I'm going to send a real shepherd, a good shepherd, who will lay down his life for the sheep. And this good shepherd will have a name. The Lord is our righteousness. What do you need to have to get saved? To get to heaven. There's only one way to get saved, you know. There's only one way to get to heaven, you know. And it's not by being a good person or volunteering for one social ministry after another. There's only one way. You have to be righteous. But you and I, we're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. No one is righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is like a filthy rag. So how are you going to get saved? You've got to be righteous. So the Lord is our righteousness. You've got to be a sheep. And you've got to be a sheep in the fold of the Good Shepherd Jesus. That's the way, that's the truth, and that is the life for God's people. This past week, some of you know that I was participating in the Mega Kids Camp. Fun thing. I would encourage you, when the date gets announced for next summer, put it on your calendar and plan on being there. Just ask the Edwards boys. All three of them were there. And I had the good fortune of having Mason in my little huddle group of 14. It was like a little sheepfold. It was like they were lambs and I was like their shepherd. I was responsible for them, getting them checked in, being with them throughout all their activities, and making sure that the parents signed out every day. Like sheep with a shepherd. Well, it was kind of also like burning the candle at both ends. And so it was a long week. Some of you know Julie was away out with the granddaughters and getting exhausted in other ways. And so I found myself kind of getting exhausted, but you know there's a difference between exhaustion, yes? This was being exhausted in a good way, in a Jesus way, where you know that your life matters and counts, right? There's a difference. Well, Wednesday came, and I woke up a little tired. Had to get up at 5, had the Bible study at Panera at 6 a.m., and then got over there at 8 o'clock to Century High School for the Mega Kids Camp. And then checked all the kids in and was with them, and I was hoping that all the parents came and got their kids checked out early that day, by 12:15. Because if you read the calendar, you know that last week on Wednesday, I also had Madonna Towers worship service in the Skilled Care Chapel at 1 o'clock. And I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I thought perhaps I should be more presentable when I'm around some of these dear, wonderful saints of God in worship at Madonna Towers. So here's what happened. I'm watching my watch, and one kid is still there. It's a lamb. I could have said, hey, well, what if you other shepherds take care of one of my sheep for me? I could have done that, but you see, I kind of felt responsible. I kind of felt like I was responsible for the well-being of those sheep and making sure that I couldn't really check out until I had gotten the signature of the parents. And that was at 12:25. Well, I don't like the speed, so I didn't. But God's grace is always sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness, and as providence would have it, I got all green lights. And I got over here at the church, and I found a little cubicle where I could change and put some dress slacks and a clergy shirt on. And then I got over there, and it was 10 minutes to 1, but no one was in the chapel yet. Huh. And so I started getting the things set up, and then Lee and Judy came. And then we had 12 people. That's really good there. And there were some new people that hadn't been there before, just new residents of Madonna Towers. I thought, this is wonderful. But we were waiting for our pianist. Sharon's been playing for about a year and a half there, you know, twice a month. And I knew she had the bulletin and stuff, and she wasn't coming. And now it's about 2-3 minutes after 1, and I'm thinking, huh. So I said, we've got easy hymns. Holy, 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 right? All the hymns that were selected, we can sing this without accompaniment. We can. And so we started worship. But we started this way. I was concerned about one of the sheep entrusted into my care, who was missing. And so I said, we're going to start with prayer because Sharon's not here, and it could mean that there's something wrong with her mom or with her kids. I said, let's pray that they are in God's safekeeping, that all is well. So we entrusted them into the safekeeping of God. We said a prayer, we did the worship, we started doing this, and we sang the hymn, and we had the scripture reading, and I was starting to preach, and guess who came in? Sharon. And she immediately said, the cat got out. Well, you know, herding sheep, herding cats, right? The cat got out. It doesn't go outside, ever. And she said, our family was in a major panic. I said, we prayed for you. She said, thank you for praying for me. And then we continued our worship, and she played the other hymns and stuff. I mean, that's just the way life is sometimes, right? Some things get lost, and some things need to be found. Especially if they're a person, a sheep of the fold, right? And you have compassion. Jesus had compassion on them. And this is not just kind of feeling some pity from a distance. He had compassion on them. This word compassion, it's in the family of the stomach and the intestines and the bowels. The bowels. I mean, in other words, Jesus is all tied up inside. Constipated, you could even say. Because he sees people and they're like sheep. And there's nothing that God loves and wants more than sheep in his fold. For the unsaved to be saved. For sinners to be forgiven and redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. This Jesus, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep, who becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the perfect, unblemished Lamb. Jesus has compassion on the people. Our gospel reading for tonight, if you remember the context in Mark's gospel, in chapter 5, Jesus came home, but those who knew him didn't receive him. They rejected him in Nazareth. So he doubled down and he said, I guess we just need more sheep out in the mission field. And we need more shepherds out in the mission field. So he takes his disciples and he commissions them to be apostles. He puts them in pairs. He pairs them up. He tells them that the mission field out there isn't going to be easy. There's going to be threats. They're going to come after you. If they're going to come after the good shepherd, guess what they're going to do to those who follow in his footsteps? But he said, there's going to be success. Because I'm giving you authority and I'm giving you power to cast out the demons, to preach the gospel of repentance and forgiveness of sins, and to heal the sick. You'll be doctors like me, only not me. And so they go out, and during that interim, as the time is passing, you remember we get that terrible story about John the Baptist and how for the sake of the kingdom, because he was willing to preach uncompromising the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was locked up and he was beheaded on Herod's birthday. You know that. Well, then that brings us to chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, and when the apostles, the disciples, returned, we go, oh, yes, that's right, they've been in the mission field. Because lost people matter to God, especially sheep that are straying, especially sheep that are like, well, not having a shepherd, if you can imagine that. So what happens? They tell Jesus, it's only one verse, chapter 6, verse 1, you saw it, it was read. One verse, they tell Jesus everything that they did and everything they said. And you know as well as I do, that's the condensed version. Because they did a lot, and they said a lot, and they hurt a lot. Because that's what happens when you get involved in the ministry of Christ, which is about compassion and always the cross. In the cross of Christ, we glory. And Jesus says, you look weary. You look spent. You look tired. I got a retreat planned for us. Some time away in a deserted, solitary place. You're going to like it. We're going to go by boat. I got the whole itinerary planned out. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find rest for your soul. So they get a little time out. And they're going by boat. But the crowds in all the cities around the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, they hear about this. Word gets around fast when the word is Jesus. It gets around fast, plenty fast. And what ends up happening is they know some shortcuts. Instead of going on the water, they go around on the land, and they get there before Jesus arrives. And you can just see it, right? I mean, the disciples, they're ready for this fabulous retreat. And what happens? 5,000 men plus women and children. I mean, you're talking about a huge bunch of people, folks. And this is supposed to be a retreat. But the disciples aren't worried because they know Jesus is going to say, or hang up a big sign that says, vacation, not on the clock, right? Wrong. Because as important as rest is for one soul, Jesus has a soft spot when it comes to compassion. Especially when he sees that there are people that are like sheep without a shepherd. Because now you're talking about salvation, folks. And so, did you notice what Jesus does? He feeds them. Ah, but what does he feed them with? He spends all day teaching them. He gives them the word, the scriptures. All day long, they get the word. They get taught about the kingdom of God, about forgiveness in his holy name. And when the day is well spent, the disciples say, you know, we were watching our watches. It's getting kind of late. Might be a good time to send the people to go get some supper for themselves. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Don't you just love these scarcity thinkers? I mean, we've got them all the time. The kingdom of God has scarcity thinkers. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think this is going to happen. You know, our resources are really limited. We're small. So the disciples say, I think you should just send them away. And Jesus says, well, what have you got? We don't have enough. Well, go and see. Don't you? That would be a great benediction. What have you got? Go and see. I don't think you want to go and see. Seriously. Because you're going to be so caught and picking surprised at what God's got for you if you just want to see it. And they go and they come back and say, don't want to say we told you so, but 5 loaves, 2 fish. And Jesus says, enough already. In fact, it'll be more than enough. In his hands, he blesses and he breaks. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places and here on earth. And then he says, now tell the people to sit on the green grass. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I've heard about green grass before. I know I've heard it somewhere. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down on green grass. Oh, those are beautiful pastures. That's just what the shepherd does. He loves his sheep. And then he says to the disciples, you're my distribution system. Get it out. They got the word in them. I'll give them something to eat for their body. Right? Word and sacrament. And when they're done feeding everyone, it says, they all ate and they were still hungry. No. They were satisfied. Enough already. So what happens? Well, because the Lord is our righteousness, they take up 12 baskets of leftovers because there's going to be more ministry tomorrow. You can bet on it. Seriously. There's going to be more ministry tomorrow. But the provision, the provision is already there today. You see? Go and see what you got. And you're going to be so surprised. Seriously. You think that our abundant God is limited with his resources? Do you really? I don't. Because the good shepherd, he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And if he's willing to do that, is anything too great for our God? Stephen Covey, who has now passed away, but he had written a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And in there, he does a little confessing, a little repenting, actually, and he does it in a story. It was a Sunday morning, and he was in New York City, and he's on the subway train. It's relatively empty, not a lot of people, and he's got his newspaper because he's going to make the most of the time, and he's going to multitask and get a lot done. And he's going to rest and relax and just breathe. But then at one of the stops, a young father gets on board with a handful of kids. They're just little ones. And they sit down, and he notices that this father, he's just humped kind of over, and he sits down, and he puts his elbows on his knees, and he's just staring at the floor, and the kids are running around like crazy, these little ones, on the subway. And the people were pretty patient until after about two, three stops, and then they were getting noticeably irritated. So someone's got to step up to the plate. So Stephen Covey says, I did. I walked over to this gentleman. I sat down and I said, you know, sir, I think that some of the other passengers here are getting irritated. Can't something be done about your kids? They're just running around like crazy. And then this man who was kind of hunched over and elbows on his knees, he looked up from the floor. And he said, oh, my kids. Yeah. Something should be done with my kids. You know, we just came from the hospital. Their mother died an hour ago. And I don't know what to think or do. And I'm guessing they don't know what to do either. Just at a loss. And Stephen Covey said, it was supposed to be a restful morning for me just to take care of myself. And suddenly I realized that God had placed in front of me a ministry of compassion and was calling me to be like a shepherd caring for one of his sheep. This past week I read a story about a father who was getting so overwhelmed with all the demands at work. And work wasn't going so well, so he's coming home and he's bringing that stuff home with him. And then he was getting depressed. And so at the supper table, his wife and his little five-year-old daughter, he wouldn't say a word to them. He just ate his whole meal in silence and then walked away and created a wall by sitting in the den with his newspaper and reading it. And after a few nights of this happening over and over again, his little five-year-old, she came into the den and she just grabbed that paper and she threw that newspaper on the ground and she jumped up into the lap of her dad and she took those two little hands and she just wrapped them tight around her dad's neck. And he said, you're hugging me to death. And she said, no, I'm not, Dad. Daddy, I am hugging you to life. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus does. He sees a crowd of people that are like sheep without a shepherd. And he has compassion on them. And he hugs them to life. All the way to Calvary. All the way to the empty tomb. All the way to the ascension. so that we who are of the household of God, the sheep for whom he died, might know that we are not lost, we are not alone, we are not abandoned, and God isn't looking for a replacement. You're his sheep. And he says, you're mine forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.